evening on a Wednesday night midweek service. Praise God. All right. Is this thing working? Because I didn't get to run it. It's good to be here this evening. So thankful for the presence of the Lord that I already feel in this house tonight. We do want to get started this evening with a few announcements coming up. We do have our first senior scholarship letters are due, so you need to turn that into the church office if you're a student that wants to apply for a scholarship. And then the first is a National Day of Prayer. That's coming up tomorrow, actually. That's going to be our National Day of Prayer. The 4th, everybody say the 4th. That's this Sunday. We're going to have nacho dinner lunch. And also on the 4th, we're going to have AM and PM services starting back up this coming Sunday. So we're excited about that. Brother and Sister Davis will be with us here Sunday. Also on the 9th, we have Mothers and Friends movie night at 6 p.m. at the Family Life Center. The cost is $5, and there's a sign up in the foyer. On the 10th, men's breakfast on the 10th. Is that correct, Brother Mike? Did I get that right? Men's breakfast is on the 10th, so be sure and sign up for that. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. On the 11th is going to be our Mother's Day service. There's only going to be an AM service for that Sunday on the 11th. On the 18th, there's going to be a senior graduation service. It's going to be conducted with a fresh fire, and it's going to be AM only on the 18th. And the 25th, Memorial Day service, we're going to have AM only. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. Get y'all in position. Kind of start taxiing out to the runway, preparing our hearts to worship the Lord tonight. Praise God. Let's just enter into a time of prayer as we get the musicians and the singers up here to lead us in worship. Let's just go to Him in prayer right now, just for a moment. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for Your presence tonight.
To me, yes, You are my life.
Somebody famous. I worked at a rental car agency here locally, and we got the call that there was somebody, a VIP is what they said. There's a VIP, and for y'all that don't know that, that means very important person that I needed to go pick up. They didn't tell me who it was, but I get out to the airport to pick him up, and I realize after a few moments that that's somebody famous right there. It ended up being Garth Brooks, the country music singer. And I picked him up, and, you know, you never know how you're going to act when you're around somebody famous, right? You think you're going to be cool, right? You're not, you know, I wasn't very cool then. I was stuttering for words and didn't even know his wife's name because I was telling him about how good my wife could sing, you know, and because just making conversation. And he said, oh, yeah, Trisha Yearwood, she sings the national anthem too. And I didn't know me. He was talking about his wife. Praise God. But, you know, we're here in the house of the Lord tonight. I know I'm going to bring this spirit. I'm going to bring a spiritual aspect to this. We're in the house of the Lord. The Bible says that when two or three are gathered together in the midst, he's going to be there. He's going to be right here in the midst. So What if we would just let our imagination get away with us, you know, and just begin to think that Jesus is walking in here? How should we act in his house? How should we act if the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory has decided to show up here with us tonight? How should we behave ourselves? Should we get beside ourselves just a little bit and begin to worship him and begin to exalt his name? I'm so thankful for this music team that comes up and kind of helps get us primed up. You know, sometimes our well gets a little dry. We need a little water in there to get things flowing. And this music, hallelujah, this worship, this anointed singing helps us get there tonight. I'm so thankful. Praise God. But let's use this time for his glory tonight. We're in the presence of a king, and we do have some needs tonight that we need to lift up while we've got the Lord on our minds tonight. We want to pray for Mike Ushery's sister. She's had a fracture of their skull and having surgery on her eye. Let's pray for her tonight. Peyton Horton has elevated white blood count and seizures. Manuel Martinez has a fractured hip. Let's pray for him tonight. Sharon Little, Deborah Metzger, Danny Bramlett, Sonia Carter, Mandy Stinson. Let's remember Sister Dickie tonight. David Young. All the names that's on our list up here, let's lift them up. If you've got a special need in your life tonight, if you need a touch of the Lord in this place, he is here. He's here tonight. He's in our midst. If you need prayer tonight, please come forward as we begin. If we could stand tonight and take these needs to the Lord, take these names before him. If you have a special need in your life, there's ministers and others that will pray with you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for all these that we've mentioned. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to come into your house. Oh, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for every name that we've lifted up tonight. Lord, we pray for healing to take place. We pray for Peyton Horton, Manuel Martinez, Sharon Little, Deborah Metzger, Danny Bramlett, Sonia Carter, Mandy Stinson, Sister Dickie, and David Young. We pray tonight that you would touch their bodies and lift them up and give them strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, Jesus.
How great he is. Just how great he is, how great he is. still moving. He's still proving just how great He is. How great He is.
Hallelujah. You're great and greatly to be praised.
Ushers come tonight. We're going to go ahead and receive an evening offering. If we could get some ushers, or praise God, we got one. Praise Him. He may have to recruit some help tonight. Praise God. Now, there's that Brother Parsons. Praise God. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the privilege that we have, Lord, to give into Your kingdom tonight. Lord, we pray tonight that You would bless the needs of this offering. Bless each and every one of us here tonight. Bless this people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Y'all give to the Lord tonight. Praise God. Maybe after this song, Brother Dickie will be coming up to minister the word of the Lord to us.
Turn around, check somebody's hand around you right quick. Let them know how happy you are to see them out tonight. Those of you that are online, God bless you tonight. We know you're there. Thank you for letting us know that you're there. At several calls, don't blame the elders at all for not getting out in this kind of weather. Those of you that did get out in it, God bless you. I was out in it today taking my patient to the cancer center for treatment, and just about the time we got to leave, the girl at the desk, she said, "Mr. Dickey, right now there's a tornado touchdown or somewhere in Tigertown, and it's headed for Sumner." She said, "Are you headed for Sumner?" I said, "Yep." She said, "You may want to stick around." Well, I couldn't get him to stick around. He's 84 and he's ready to go home. He'd been there long enough. So we headed out towards the storm. It got a little scary there for just a little bit when it started getting dark and raining. And I was thinking, well, Canaan land is just in sight. Hallelujah. And I thought there for a minute we might be leaving and getting on over there. But I am so happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I know that there are storms around. Children have to get up and go to school in the morning. I've got about 160 years that I want to speak on for just a few minutes. So surely in 25 minutes I can be through so we can get out of here and everybody can get in bed. I just got to tell this. Kylie was texting me and Brother Davis was texting me about the same time, and I'm not real savvy on this little thing. Matter of fact, I turned it on silence. I did know to do that, and I did put my clock up here so I know to get through quicker. And then I told my wife, I said, "Wave at me when I've gone far enough on that point." And I told her what my points were, and so she's going to be waving at me every now and then to keep me online because I want to get out of here and let you get home. Thank you for coming. But I really feel like the Lord has laid this thought on my heart tonight, and Kylie and I were texting, and so was Brother Davis and I, and just making sure that I was doing what I wanted to. Maybe if he needed to cancel it, it wouldn't hurt my feelings, because I know I didn't want anybody to get hurt. We'll go on with it. Kylie was saying, "We're going to be singing." I got them mixed up, and I thought Kylie was Brother Davis. And she said something about singing, "Is there a song you want?" And I thought, well, he sings along this line too. So, Sister Kylie, I know how it is to sing some songs that we're just not comfortable with, but y'all did a good job. I knew Sister Wanda was going to sing, and she knew this song. And this comes from a long way back. Canaan Land is just that. Sister Dickie and I used to sing it, but now we sort of yodel it, and we have a little trouble breaking and coughing in our singing, so we try not to sing quite as much. So you, thank you for doing that tonight, because it goes hand in hand with the message. I'm going to try to move on and get out of the preliminaries. Thank you, darling, for all you did tonight. So sweet. I love the church. I love God. I want to go to heaven. I don't want anything to keep me from going to heaven. I've walked through the valleys. How many of you walk through a valley? Climbed high mountains. Boy, I've had some good times in this world, seen some wonderful things. The year that we baptized Mercy, I want to thank, I may be way off base, but Sister Dickie, it seems like that year or two we baptized over 90 people. Had a family move from Oregon, and there was about 50 of them in that family. And man, God just blessed us that year. We started a Christian school, had a great ministry. Things was going great. God has been good to us in our ministry, and we thank Him for it. And then He chose to lead us just a little bit deeper into truth. And I thank Him for that tonight. But there is a price to pay for the name of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that tonight? And it will separate you from the chiefest of friends and family members. Amen. When you hold to the belief of Jesus and He is all in all and He is God, sometimes it will separate you from people. But I have had the opportunity, and I believe I was able to share, but I believe that God has called some of us to be a bridge between one belief and another, because I've been in three different phases of belief, and I know the relationship with each have had with their God. And I know the faith and the, I'm going to tell you, back in the old Baptist that I came from, they shouted. They filled the altars up. Now, you don't have to shout tonight over that because you don't know that, but that's okay. I do, because I came from that. My dad was a Baptist minister, and he'd stand on the edge like this, and he'd, woo, hallelujah, and he'd preach the gospel, and the Holy Ghost would get to fall in. And Sister Denise, I stand up here, and I had a hold of the pew, the back of the pew, and I think, ooh, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved, and Daddy was preaching. I took off toward that altar, and I got down there, and I was just weeping and crying. I said, "Daddy, I don't want to go to hell." 8 years old, he said, "Son, all you got to do," and he began to explain to me what he knew about being saved, what he knew about being saved. And that night I poured my heart out to Jesus and I said, Lord, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And oh, I just felt so clean and good. And I went out of that church. I was so drunk in the spirit. That's the truth. I almost fell off the steps when I got out there. I was so high, 8 years old, just having a good time. Wasn't long, a few years later, I come across this truth of speaking in tongues. Went to a baby dedication. Then people got to shouting in church on baby dedication, worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden the spirit was poured out and God just began to move in my life. And there's a preacher, Steve Brock. Now, most of you don't know him, but he's an evangelist now on TV and has been for a long time. He's strayed a little bit from what he was when I first knew him, because just a young black-headed evangelist that has now turned gray, who is now dying it black. But anyhow, he was preaching the gospel, and he called people out. There's somebody here tonight that is in need of God before you leave this house. You have got serious issues in your mind and thought, and I feel like if you don't make your way down here tonight, you may not be here tomorrow. I had planned to commit suicide after the service because my life was going wrong. I thought, my God, how could he know that? And I stood up and I stepped out into an altar, and about 20 other people come out, and I'm looking around because I'm this little Baptist reserved person who you pray one person at a time. You have three songs, take an offering, preach a message, you go home. Not that, you know, they I'm telling some of them preach that word maybe an hour and a half, but they preach the gospel and they do the best they know how, building a bridge. And so I just stepped out, and after about 10 people were prayed for, I finally made it up to him. I was 17, scared to death, backwards country, still am. And he said, son, have you got the Holy Ghost? Why didn't he ask me if I repented of my sins and all that? You know, I don't know. He just said, have you got the Holy Ghost? I said, no, sir, because I didn't know what a Holy Ghost was other than the part of the Trinity. He said, well, then raise your hands and receive it. Well, he's a man of God. I'm a child, and I'm supposed to do what the man of God says. I just raised my hand and started speaking in tongues. I didn't know not to. Faith. Being able to believe what is put into your hands, receiving the word of God. Now, I know this goes probably contrary to some of the things that you have looked and thought, but I want to help us build a bridge because we're about to move into a new dimension in our world and in our community, and I'm already looking for property to build a new sanctuary that'll seat double of what we have here. Amen. Now, I know that was weak, and you're thinking, how? But with God, nothing is impossible. But I told Brother and Sister Davis when they came for the interview, I said, I've been looking at a piece of property over here, and I asked the committee, I said, does anybody know, is that property for sale? Does anybody know who owns it or what? Because, boy, that'd make another good sanctuary. I hate to move off and leave all this that we've already got. At one time, Brother Meyer wanted to move out on Loop where the high school was, and it didn't get voted in, and so we didn't move out there. Otherwise, we'd be out there with all the big upcoming people on the south side of town. But nevertheless, for some reason, we stayed here, and great things happened and wonderful things. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is there's a bridge to build, and I want to look at the life of Moses for just a moment. Moses started out in a time when there was a decree that went forth in Egypt from Pharaoh, and that decree was that all the male children of the tribe of Israel who were slaves unto them was to be killed. How many of you remember that from Bible school? And so when Moses was born, his mother was a Levite, and so was her husband, which was of the lineage of the priesthood of the children of Israel. So she come from not just an Israelite family, but she come from the lineage that selected their priests from them and their ministers and those that ministered unto the God and make sacrifice. And so she had it within her heart that when she had her child, she couldn't kill her child. Well, to take a life of your child and others was killing their children. And because there were so many children of Israel in the land of Egypt, they were outgrowing the number of the Egyptians. The Pharaoh got afraid and he said, we're going to kill all the male children that are born. And when that mother gave birth, she was as quiet as she could be, and they said that the Israelite women, they didn't give birth like others did, that their pain was not like it was for maybe other women. I know my wife sure let it be known that she was having children, however she conceived that she had that child, and she hid him for 3 months, and she breastfed him, and she loved him, and she cared for him until he began to be that rumptious little boy that was making noise and crying. And the Bible says she took him out and she built an ark, or built a little basket, and put that baby down there and pitched it with Tara and put that baby in the river, but she didn't just put him in any river. She put him in the river where she knew that Pharaoh's daughter would be. Let me try to hurry. I told you, got 160 years to cover. And the Bible says that she put that baby in there, but she also put her older daughter Miriam there, that Miriam might would hide out in the reeds and watch for the alligators and for anything that would come through that Nile to take her baby away, and wait for Pharaoh's daughter to come, or someone to come that could rescue her baby. Oh, did she have a plan? I believe she had a plan. I believe she had an ordained plan from God. I believe that this church has been ordained from God for the very beginning, from the saints that have already gone on and are worshiping the Lord. I don't know about you, but I love looking at those pictures of some of the elders back that were here even before me, thinking that they're on now with the Lord. I want to tell you, the one that liked to got me where you sister be, when I saw your mama, I thought I was going to just cry. Lord, I miss her. I miss these elders, brother, sister, Moss. Oh, Lord, you know them all. I was trying to think of all the ones that have gone on. My goodness, church, a lot of our people have passed on and gone on into glory. Why would I not want to keep living for Jesus and be ready when he comes? Why would I want to let down now? Why would I want to give in now? Why would I want to turn around? Why would I want to compromise now? Oh, are you hearing me tonight, church? If I've ever been made up in my mind to live for the Lord, if there's ever been a time in my mind that I want to go to heaven, it's right now. Praise the Lord. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. I know I'm talking fast. I'm texting. You got to listen a little faster. I got to get through here because I still got 159 years to go. The Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter came along and she saw that baby in that little basket. And like a little cute puppy dog or kitten, she couldn't resist that little baby. Didn't matter that she knew it was an Israelite baby. It was a baby. And there must have been a longing in that woman's heart that she wanted a child. Boy, I want to tell you, you can't stop the heart of a mother who wants a baby, who has babyless arms. That kind of mother is a woman that will go above and beyond. She's looking for a child. She don't just have children and just, oh, it's okay if you do, but I'm talking about that mother that really wanted that baby. They prayed for that baby. And then all of a sudden out there on that day, that baby come floating along in that river. Oh, my Lord. She said, bring it in to me. She didn't even have to go get it. Bring that baby in to me. When they brought that baby in to her, here come Miriam. Do you need somebody to take care of your baby? Your baby. Do you need somebody to nurse that baby? She knew they did. Mama done set the plan. You know the story. Let me hurry. But the Bible says that she said yes. And so she went and got his own mama. And for 12 years, Josephette came. And she nursed and she trained her child out in the ways of the people of God. And she told him the scripture. And she told him the word. And she instilled in him all the things that he needed in order to be a man of God. But at the same time, God said, I've got to have me a leader that can deliver my people out of the hands of their enemy. And so he allowed him to be in the house of Pharaoh, that he was brought up just like his own grandchild or his own son. And they taught him, and they educated him, and they allowed him to know different languages and tongues and education and ability. All these things was handed to him, and he grew strong and great in the land, to the place that history has it recorded two ways that Moses, as a younger child, began to reach out for the Pharaoh's crown. It was bright gold and flashy. And now these are just theories. You won't find it in the scriptures, so don't go look at it. Took that crown. And Pharaoh said, uh-oh, he's not the rightful heir. I don't want him reigning. So they devised a plan, him and his wise men. Listen, now this is one story. Let's set before him a bright coals of fire and the crown. Sounds like a good story. It's probably more of a story, but sounds good, so I'm going to share it. And when Moses was there, he started reaching out. I like it for this part right here. He started to reach out to take that bright crown. I don't know if it's because he knew he had a calling upon his life and he's going to be a leader, or if it was gold. But about that time, the story is told in legend that instead he reached out and grabbed a coal and put it to his lips, and it burnt and deformed his mouth and made him slow of speech. The Bible says that when Josephette looked at her son, she found a goodly child. She found a child that was not deformed. harmed. I didn't have any problems that she could tell. Of course, he wasn't talking at the time neither. So was this story true or not? I don't know. I just know that's one of the things that was said. However happened, and Moses became a man of impediment to where that he could not speak, not like me. And he couldn't always say the things he wanted to say. And he had a little trouble. So it made him a little bit backward. And before long, he's out in the field. And he knows who he is because his mom told him, you're Israelite. You may be living with a Pharaoh, but I want to tell you something. You are an Israelite. I want to tell you something. You may be living in the world, but you're a Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled, sanctified child of God. Do you hear me? And no matter how long you're in this world, you need to remember who you are. And so he saw one of the Egyptians beating up and pushing around and making a mockery of one of the Israelite slaves. And it made him angry within himself to think that somebody would do one of his people that way, because he was proud of who he was. Mama taught him to be proud of who you are. How many of you are proud to be Jesus' name bought today? Amen. And so he saw this, and in his heart, not the heart of God, but in his heart, he thought, this is going to stop. And he walked over and he killed that man. Wow. What a defaming came across his life at that point. Should have just threw him away and went and searched for another leader, because he murdered a man. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I mean, one of the greatest sins, even though we know they're all the same, is that somebody kills somebody. We just can't hardly think that anybody could be forgiven for being a murderer. But he murdered a man. And because he realized what he did, and that he was Pharaoh's grandson, our son per se, he hid him away and thought, I'll just hide this little thing and nobody will ever know. A few days later, he was out and he saw two of his Hebrew brethren, and they were just beating up on each other and treating each other real bad and being ugly to one another, and you know how we can get sometimes. So they were just beating up. And so he came and he said, well, I'll just put a stop to this. Hey, y'all shouldn't be doing this now, because we are brethren. And we are of like faith, and we are Israelites. And the one looked at him, he said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to slay me like you slew the Egyptian? Boy, when your sins come out, it is a terrible thing. It's a scary thing. And Moses got scared, because he knew if one man knew it, probably the whole tribe knew it. And there's probably well over 600,000 of them at that time. So it was going to naturally get through the crowd that Moses, Pharaoh's son, adopted son, had turned back to his Hebrew heritage and had slayed an Egyptian. So what does Moses do? He runs. Like the most of us do when we're found out. He ran for his life into the desert to a place called Midian. And there the Bible says God had a plan for him. See, he was raised as a prince. But God had another plan for him, not just to be educated and not know languages and not just know wealth and not know all these wonderful things. But he wanted him to have the heart of a leader. And so he took him out of the greatest palace and he carried him out to a desert, to a place where that a little old preacher man. His name was Jethro, had a beautiful daughter. Her name was Zipporah. And Zipporah caught the eye of Joseph, and he just fell in love with her. He decided to marry her. But while there, the Bible tells us that she was there and loved her husband, and he loved her. And Jethro said, well, what I want you to do is I want you to take and I want you to keep my sheep. But wait just a minute, I was going to be a prince. I was going to be somebody important. Now I'm taking care of sheep. But you see, it was there that he learned to be a shepherd. How many of you know what a true shepherd is? He'll give his life for his flock. Are you following along with me? And so Moses learned all of these things. Oh, I have not enough time to tell you how that Moses went through all these things. And while out there, the burning bush came, and he saw the burning bush, and he wondered why it wasn't consumed. And he stepped over to that mount where it was, and he looked at that bush, and he heard a voice say, Moses, and he said, here am I. And the Lord said unto him, Moses, take your shoes off, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Let me tell you something, child of God. There are places in this life that are holy ground. And you need to be holy on them and act holy on them. Oh, I think we ought to be holy all the time. But I want to tell you, holiness is still right into the sight of God. Oh, we got to work these things out with God. We got to do what is pleasing to God. I don't care so much what pleases you. I don't care so much what pleases me, like I like to please me. But I better please God if I want to go to heaven, if I want to do what he wants me to do. And so the Bible says that he took his shoes off. And while there, oh, I got to hurry through it. He began to hear the Lord say, say, Moses, I have brought you up to be a deliverer of my people. For while you have been out here in this desert for 40 years and had a wife and children and learned to be patient and loving and caring over those little old tiny sheep, I have had a plan all along for you to go back to Egypt and get my people out of the hands of Pharaoh and deliver them. How many of you thank God for a deliverer? The people there in Egypt have been in bondage and sin, and they begin to cry, Lord, send us a deliverer. We need a deliverer. We need somebody that can be patient and loving and teach us and help us and get us out of the hands of Pharaoh. Woo, I wish I was about 15 pounds lighter. Let me breathe just a minute. Okay, I got to hurry. And so the Bible says that as he was walking on and as he was doing what the Lord told him to do, he made his way back to Egypt, and there going back to Egypt, he ran into his brother that he had not seen in 40 years, Aaron, his older brother. And Moses had a problem because he told the Lord, he said, Lord, I don't talk very good anymore, and I'm sort of bashful and backward, and I don't think that I'm the one that's supposed to be the leading. And he pleaded, and he said, why don't you let my brother Aaron, he comes from the same home, the same family, why don't you let him? He said, no, I'll let him go with you, but I have called you, and I have ordained you, and I have set you aside that you may do this job for me to bring my people out of deliverance. Somebody say amen. Just trying to set a good foundation here. Woo, sometimes it takes a while to set it. Let me hurry. And so Moses went back, and you know all the signs and wonders and miracles that was done. I can't even get to them tonight. You know how that Aaron threw down the rod and it turned into a serpent. You know how there was the 10 plagues that came and Pharaoh wasn't going to let God's people go. But on the last one, God says, and I'll touch your family and I'll take your child from you. Your oldest son will die because you didn't put the blood over the post of your home. I'm going to take the firstborn of all of Egypt. And when that happened, Pharaoh said, take them. Get these Israelites out of my sight. They're stenching my nostrils. You just get these people away from me. And so he let them go for a few days, and out there in the desert they ran and they fled, and they took I read where it said 660,000 men, and then there were women, and then there were children, and then there were all the animals, and all the spoilage they took from Egypt, because the Bible said the Lord had told the women, go unto all of your Egyptian employers and borrow from him all the silver and gold. Why? That's still a no. Those people had been worked for a couple of hundred years and had been paid nothing, and they'd even lost their lives. And God said, you're not going to leave Egypt poor and begging. I'm going to bless you with a blessing. And so Israel came out of Egypt with a great spoil and was wealthy as a people. But after they got out there a while, it was hot and sandy and nasty. There was no Burger Kings or McDonald's. There was no place to have a fine meal. And they began to forget about the hours that they had to get up and go fry those hamburgers. And they forgot about all those times where those things happened to them. And so they began to murmur and complain. You know how that will happen. How many of you got children? You know how it happens. And they'll murmur and complain. And you've done it before too. You murmur and complain. We all do. Murmur and complaining. Just part of our worldly nature. So the Bible says that God looked down upon them and he said, well, watch this. So he just turned Pharaoh loose. And here come Pharaoh full force. What have I done? We have nobody to wash our clothes and cook our hamburgers and mop our floors and take care of our women. So let's go get them. We're going to round them up. We'll kill what we have to kill, and we're going to bring back what we need. So they took out full force, and you know how that God put a pillar of fire and a cloud by the day to lead and guide those people and protect them by night. God put that pillar of fire between them and their enemy, and right there at the Red Sea when they could not pass over, had no boats, had no way over, God come down and he performed a great miracle, and Moses stretched his hand out over the water, and contrary to all signs, it dried up, and the people walked over on dry land, and they got to the other side, and then he removed that pillar, because he said, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to wicked people. I'm going to destroy the wicked. And all of a sudden, the wicked said, come on, let's go after them anyhow. And oh, my Lord, you should have seen the water. No, you didn't want to do that. But they took out into the water. You know how that the waters all of a sudden were turned loose and they were drowned, and they're still finding chariots and remains of some of those people in that body of water today. My goodness. Got over on the safe side. Whew, Canaan land is just inside. And so Moses said, I need 12 people, one from each tribe. We're going to go search out that promised land, Canaan, that God promised us. We're on our way now. We got wealth, we got family, we got a good number of people, we got a nation. Let's go. You 12 guys go search it out. So they all got together, the biggest and strongest of the 12 tribes. And the Bible said two of them that was with them was Joshua and Caleb, and here they went. They went to that land, and guess what? When they got over there, there was a McDonald's and a Burger King and a steakhouse, and there was all these wonderful things, and there was big fruit and big vegetables and things that they couldn't even hardly carry. They even took one cluster of grapes and put it on a pole between two men, and it was so big, brother, and it took two of both, and it hung down between them. That is scientifically proven today that it happened a few years ago, back when they went back and began to put water in the desert. It was so rich in minerals and so that those fruits began to literally begin to grow. I don't even remember exactly, but a cantaloupe was about the size of a watermelon, all the different things that I studied on that, how that God blessed that land because it was a promised land. And they come back, and they were on their way. They begin to say, oh, well, this looks pretty good. Maybe this is where they got houses and lands, and God has promised this too. And then they come upon their first giant. Uh-oh. Got a giant. Anybody ever had a giant in your life? Every time I look in the mirror, there he is. Ooh, I'm trying to do something about him. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Lord help me. There was that giant. They said, ooh, I don't know. And they were tall back then, you know. You heard about Goliath. No, we're just small in stature, and we've been slaves long enough. They can have that land. That land, milk and honey, you know. Let's go on back and tell them we better wait a while. So they went back to Moses thinking Moses is going to be pleased because we searched it out and we're going to save everybody's life. So they go back to Moses and they begin to say, oh, Moses said, it's flowing with milk and honey. Just look what we brought back, this big old cluster of grapes. Oh, yeah, it's rich and it has houses and lands. But the problem is there's a bunch of people over there I find that are giants and they're bigger than we are and they look tougher. They were talking about the flesh. They had forgot about who was leading them out. They had forgot by a strong hand God had delivered them out of Egypt. I'm not even beginning with my message. If I just had 6 weeks, I won't get through. All right, so that didn't please God and it didn't please Moses because that's not what God said. They were to search it out and find a way to go and take it. And they were to look at those giants and say, they can fall mightily at our feet because we have God on our side. If he can put a pillar of fire behind us to protect us from our enemy, he can certainly destroy the enemy that lies before us. But they come back with complaints and murmurs and, oh, I just don't think we can do it. What did it happen? For the next 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, but it was a place of preparation. I want to tell you something. Sometimes I think that we are still wandering here in our land because God is trying to get people ready. There are some of my family that's not ready. There's some of your family that's not ready. I don't want them to die and go to hell. I'm willing to suffer just a little bit longer if I have to. I want to get through this wilderness. I want to go to heaven. The other night, I was sitting in my home. I told my girls, I said, my grandbabies, I said, ooh, I just want to go home. They said, Papa, you're home. I said, no, baby, I want to go home. I'm looking forward to going and being with Jesus and getting out of this world and doing the things that my heart desires. I want to see the Lord, and I hear the bells, and I hear the trumpet. Oh, that one Sunday was good. I want to take just reminding me it won't be long until the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive shall rise up in the air, and we're going to meet them all in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you remember that promise? I said, the promise. It's a promise. He gave the promise to the children of Israel. You shall have this land. You'll be set from your Egyptian people. You're going to have freedom. Promise, promise, promise. It's a promise. He is coming back. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you forget it. He's coming back again. Oh, my Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost on me. I've been feeling him on me for several days. Today I told my wife, I said, Lord, I'm so excited I may have to take a pill. I'm just so excited. I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. I was scared, too, because I knew it had been a while since I rode this bicycle. But I'll tell you something, friend. This God put this in my heart. My daddy preached this message the first time he left his church. And when I heard Brother Breyer was going to go, this came to my heart because I thought, oh, Lord, we've been blessed for 40 years with leadership that loved us, that cared for us, that led us, guided us. Human. We're all human. Moses went up to the mountain to get the tablets from God. The Bible says Joshua, everybody say Joshua. Joshua followed right in behind him, was up there. They were up there getting the commandments from God. God was telling him what to write down. He wrote it all down. How long did it take? It wasn't a computer. He may have been faster writing it on stone. I don't know. I tried the computer today, and with the sermon, it wasn't going too good. But nevertheless, he wrote them down on stone. He come down off that mountain. He thought, boy, we're fixing to have church. We got the commandments of God. We got the what we need to do, where we need to go, how we need to act, how we need to treat our brother and sister. Here we come. He come down. What were they doing? Naked and drunk and dancing before an idol of a calf. And Moses got so human, he took those things and threw them down and broke them and said, well, my goodness, what have I been doing up here for 40 days and nights with God, turned all gray-headed and all this happening to me, and come down here and find you all living in sin? When Jesus comes, what's he going to find? It's been a while since he's been here, and he's gone away to prepare a place for us, but what's he going to find when he comes back? Getting just a little bit scary, isn't it? How many of you still holding on? People don't listen to me just a little bit. And the Bible says that he had to go back up the mountain. How do you tell God you broke the tablets? He already knew. But how do you tell God that what he spent time helping you to write and what was for the people, you got angry? I don't like to get angry, but I'm good at it. Amen. I know you are too. Smile. We get angry at times. And he threw those tablets. Had to go back up there and tell God what he did. He's already ready. Getting them some more ready. Stayed up there again. Joshua waited outside. Moses hid his face from God because he didn't want to look upon God. He had a fear of God, a reverence of God. Didn't look upon him. But the Shekinah glory was there and the power was there. And he wrote them all again. Come down off the mountain. This time they'd destroyed the calf. They'd been having church while he was gone. They'd been getting ready for where he's come. What now? And so Moses come down, gave them all that. And he said, okay, I want to tell you what it is. It is the fact that because your unbelief, God's not going to let us cross over into Canaan right now. But we're going to have to wander out here in this wilderness for a while. Somebody said, why did he take such a long way? Because nobody was really ready. There was a few that was ready, and those that are ready just suffer a long way, because we got to take as many to heaven with us as we can. There's not one person I want to go to hell. I can't think of anybody that I hate that I want to go to. I want everybody that I can to get ready to go to heaven with me. Can anybody say praise the Lord? That don't come from a natural heart. That comes from getting close to God and praying and saying, God, help me. Because sometimes, you know, Lord, I have nature with me. And so they wondered. But God, he was good. Gave them manna. They just went out there and picked it up. He gave them that till they got sick of it and started complaining. Everybody say complaining. Then he gave them the quail enough that they got so much and ate so much that they got deathly sick, and some of them died. A lot of them died. Then they complained because they wanted fresh water, and so Moses smote the rock, mad again. Here comes the fresh water, but Moses got in trouble over that one. We can get in trouble. And though the Bible says they complained, and so he sent the snakes, and the snakes did a lot and killed a lot more. Woo! I tell you what, God can be tough when he has to be. Sometimes we act like we don't think God is going to hold us accountable. How many of you know he's going to hold us accountable? He has made a plan. He has laid it out before us. He has planned the deliverance. He has planned the salvation. He has planned the Savior. And he said what we had to do to be saved. And if you try to alter that or change that, honey, you're going to miss heaven. It's just plain as night and day. I can't sugarcoat it. If I do, I'm wrong. You can't sugarcoat it. I think we need to be nice about it. I think we need to understand people and where they've been and how they've been raised. And we need to build some bridges there and maybe just ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Oh, you believe? Who saved? Oh, Jesus saved. Well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, are you hearing me tonight? I know. It's just a little. Pastor Davis will take care of it if he needs to. But honey, I'm just of the mind that there's a lot of people out there in Paris that are wanting to know about this religion and this Jesus and this Holy Ghost, but it scares them just a little bit. And if you'll just be patient enough to build on the rocks that are already built in their life and start out with what is a foundation with them, you'll find out that nearly everybody you know goes to church, reads the Bible, believes Jesus is a Savior. They may not have it all together like we do. They may not have it all planned out like we do. But what I'm trying to tell you is, it's in this last hour. If you want to see souls saved and added to the church, We got to back up and be just a little bit patient and lead these people into truth with love and mercy. The Bible, I learned a long time ago, he said that we are to be as smart as a serpent, cunning, moving about without being seen, but we need to be harmless, harmless as a dove, patient and fleeing any kind of danger. You know that little dove, she'll take off away from her nest to keep you from destroying her nest, and she'll act like she's wounded to draw you away, but she's harmless, and she'll sit up there and coo, and so sweet. We love to hear, but that old snake, he'll be hiding out, and he'll get you for it. We got to be smart enough to know how to maneuver in this life, but we got to be loving enough to know how to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God, he is love. Somebody say praise the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. If you believe that, you come a long way. Oh, we got to love. We got to love in this day and hour, and it's hard sometimes. Let me move on quickly. Am I running out of time yet, sister? Am I through? Oh, I'm done. I'm already past. Well, you'll just have to hold on a second. All right, so then we get down to the place that they've done held Moses' hands when he got weak, because when they let his hands hang down, they lost the battle. But when they came in, his leaders and elders, and supported him, they won the battle. What have we got to do? That's one thing. Got to hold each other up. There's several other things in Moses' life. I am not even touching on the miracles that was done in Moses' life. And then Moses came to that place where he stood on the mountain. He looked over into Canaan land, and he said, I see it. I see the lights of heaven. I see the lights of Canaan in the promised land. God promised us that land. And God said, but Moses, you're not going to get to go, because you sinned when you smote that rock in anger. So I'm going to hold you back, but today I'm going to take you to be with me. And on his 120th birthday, this day, he said, I'm 120. He was taken to the Lord, and the Lord buried him. And they didn't know, but they waited 40 days. I think they were devastated. What happens when our elder, who's been the light of the church and led us and helped us, and Pastor Meyer was mine for 32 years, and he taught me a lot of things and helped me a lot of ways. And then he's gone. I thank him for that help. But listen to me. When he was gone, then there was the need for another. Because God's people need a deliverer or a guidance or a help or a preacher or a teacher to lead them. That's just the way God ordained it. And so here comes Joshua, who's been right there following in and in the ministry and working and preparing himself for it. And he comes on the scene. And somebody said, are you talking about little old Joshua? I had him in Sunday school. He was a mess. You know about him. Are you talking about his wife, Zipporah? She was a mess too. Her daddy might have been a preacher, but I don't think so. She was a mess. Now I'm just adding to it just a little bit just to help you in. But then the Lord said, I've called them out. I have ordained them. I have given them a calling and a position. And now Joshua is going to be your leader. I wished I had the time to go to you and read you the scriptures, but I don't, so I won't. So you go read it yourself. But the Bible says that Joshua stood up there before them. Oh, I got to read some of it because my memory's not what it used to be. Only had 12 pages of notes, and I'm going to skip to the back right quick. He said, do you remember what Moses told us before he left? Two things. Be strong and have courage. That almost sounds like that little fairy tale Cinderella or something. Well, I remember hearing that one of them. Be strong and have courage. But this isn't a fairy tale. This was true. Moses told the people, he said, be strong, have courage, and I have ordained Joshua to take up. I believe that through the process of Holy Ghost fasting, men and women of God in this church, that our pastor, Brother Davis, has been elected to come in and to begin to lead us and guide us. But I want to tell you something. A prophet is without honor in his own land unless we are willing to give him the honor and the position that he so deserves. There was a little girl in my kids club, Sister Dickie's kids club upstairs. Her name name was Jenna Martin, and she was the cutest little smiling thing you ever seen. And I just looked, because she always was smiling and jumping and falling, and we had times of playing and singing about God. But that little girl grew up, and she made a beautiful young teenager, and then she made a young lady who got a calling on her heart, and the Lord took her off to Bible college to give her an education and to provide for her. Let me tell you, from the king's house to the place of a shepherd, he takes and he leads his people to put them in the positions he needs them to be. She may have left that little girl from King's Kid, but she's coming back here next week as Sister Davis to me. I'm giving her all the honor and all the glory that she so deserves, because that woman has been serving in the ministry long beside her husband, and she has been learning and working with people and leading ladies and men and young people and doing all that God has called her to do. And in my heart, I believe she deserves all the honor this church can give, and I know you feel the same way. So why don't you just lift up your hand and thank God that he called us out a lady right out here out of our church. We know all about her, and he's been teaching her and training, and he's bringing us back a little redheaded almost Sister Davis. My first pastor's wife was redheaded, and her name was Sister Davis, and Brother Bud Davis was my pastor down in Lufkin in the UPC, and she met me at the back door the first time I came to the church, and she said, "Brother Diggy, we got reserved seats up front for you and all your congregation." She was tall and stylish, like Sister Davis, like the Irish Sister Davis, and she had that red hair, and it was all, and she was so slim and trim, and she was older, but yeah, she met us, and she ushered us up. I want to tell you, they treated me like a king the whole time I was there. That first night, we baptized over 30 of our people in the name of Jesus, because there was a woman and a man of God in that church that had been fasting and praying and leading their people and getting them ready for that time. I'm trying to tell you, through these doors, there's going to be people come in that are denominational, that haven't heard about the Holy Ghost, and they're coming. I'm telling you, Moses has prepared and helped us to get to this place. And now I want to tell you, Brother Joshua, Brother Davis, and Sister Davis are about to walk into this place. Sister Mary Lou, I remember hearing you. I wanted to apologize to you sometimes. She said, "I just don't know. They didn't apply for the church at first, and it bothered me because I'd been praying about it, and I wanted them to apply. I didn't know if they'd get it, but I said, can I ask them? Would it be okay if I asked them?" And they said, "Sure, be all right to ask them." So I said, "Brother Davis, if you feel like it, and you feel like the Lord's leading you, I know you're happy where you're at. I know you're going where you're at, but would you just consider it?" And Sister Mary Lou went and shot me down at the next meeting. She said, "Well, I just don't know if I want my children. They're in a good church and doing good. And you know, I don't think she had any problem with them being her pastor and pastor's wife. It's just that we get protective of our children, don't we, Sister Mary Lou? Lord, we love them." And I had to say at that, I thought, well, she's right. We're a big church. We're going to get so big. But you know what? Then I began to think about a man by the name of Brother Brad Davis. And I've been watching that man for a few years, and I saw a love in him like I saw in Pastor Meyer for people. And he loved me no matter what. And every time he talked to me, he just oohed and gooed with goodness and love. And yet I saw a boldness and an ability in him that he would be able to defend the gospel and stand for righteousness and holiness and purity and help us to get on over to Canaan land. I want to tell you something Josh said. He said, "I want to tell you, like Moses told you, I'm going to tell you, have courage and be strong. And watch, because God has given you this for an inheritance. We're going to make it over to heaven. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to begin to fast, and we're going to begin to pray, and we're going to begin to believe the Lord for end time revival." Woo! Hallelujah. I'd almost given up on that. When I retired a few years ago, I laid in bed for almost a year in pain. Had a stroke. Couldn't hardly move. My arm wouldn't move. My leg wouldn't move. Brother Kelso, Sister Kelso, can I pick on you one night? Y'all were standing behind me or come up behind and pray, laid a hand on me. I'm not sure that all of you are the same, but y'all pray for me, and the Lord touched me, and the power of God began to change me. And then there was a little lady in our church, just a little girl. Was that you, Sister Kylie? I think it was. And she just boldly, you know, a lot of people won't even approach me because, you know, that's Brother Dickie's the preacher. I'm so glad y'all changed that and you like me for who I am, because I'm retired now. I need you. I need my friend. She came up to me. She wasn't intimidated. She just laid her hand right on my shoulder, and she said, "Lord, touch Brother Dickie and heal him." And the Shekinah glory of God went through my hand into my shoulder, and she didn't know, but I was almost paralyzed down that left side where I had that stroke, and I couldn't hardly lift it up. Sister Denise, do I tell it again? Got that song in the hospital. Said, I'm climbing up the rough side. Do you see who we are and what we have? I could say that about, I guess, every one of you here. Who you have just done great and wonderful. You are great people, and the devil is a liar. He wants to tell you you're not any good. You're not worthy for the kingdom. You're not worthy for the church. You're not worthy to serve or to do. If that was true, I'd be sitting down right now, because my wife knows me better than anybody. And she'd tell you, I'm not any better than anybody else. But I'm striving to make it in at the straight and the narrow. And I want you to go with me. I'm trying to tell you, there's about to be a new pastor and his wife come in here on Sunday. And I want to give them the honor of pastor and Sister Davis, and I want to honor them, and I want to teach my grandchildren and my children to lift them up and honor them as to who they are. Oh yes, they were once a buddy. Yes, they used to run around with us. Yes, they used to do that. But right now they have changed positions. Joshua is now our leader, and he's telling us, let me go to the last thought. Oh, there was so much good stuff here. Joshua 24. Is that right, sister? See, I got short-term memory from that. Y'all pray for that. That's the last thing I need from that stroke, that short-term memory to get better. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. Exodus, Joshua 24. Oh, yes, that's right. I just need to turn my page. Let me get here. This was my favorite verse, and I used to have it on my door, a little plaque, and it said this. Let me go right here. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel together, called them the heads of the community, the judges, the lawyers, the whatever they were. And he said unto the people, verse 2, the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt over on the other side of the flood. And he said, I took your father Abraham out away from the flood, and I delivered him out, and I multiplied his seed. Let's jump on over there. And in verse 12, he said, and I sent the hornet, and I drove out the Amorites out of the land. And then he goes a little bit further, and he said that he came against all the evil in the land, and he delivered the children of Israel time after time. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is holy. Verse 19, he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. How many of you know that God forgives transgressions and sin? This was before the Messiah. This is before Jesus. God would not forgive their open sins. But I want to tell you, we live under grace dispensation, where our Savior came and he lived and he died and he rose again. And if you have committed sin, it's shall be forgiven unto you, no matter what you've done, whether you murdered, whether you did whatever. God is able to take you and use you in this last hour. Come on, give him one more hand clap of praise. That's worthy. Right there. Y'all pray for me. Oh, pray for me. I'm going to be in trouble when I get home. Okay. And he said, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn. Did you hear that? If you forsake the Lord and turn to strange gods. There's so many gods in our land today. So many people are leaving truth and just beginning to follow after the lust of their heart. He said, then he will turn and do you hurt. How many of you want to be hurt by God? Anybody want to have the hurt put on you by God? He said, he'll put the hurt on you if you turn around. And consume you after he hath done you good. You mean after all this time of living and doing, I stand in a place that I could lose it all? If you turn against God and quit serving him. And this is what Joshua went on to tell the people. Nay, but ye will serve the Lord. I know we're going to serve the Lord, church. I know you're going to serve the Lord. You wouldn't be here tonight if you wouldn't, with all that out there waiting for us. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witness against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, everybody say it with me. If you can, read it there with me. Verse 21. Let's make this promise to Brother and Sister Davis and unto the Lord. And they said... Oh, where did they say it? I've lost it. Yeah, goodness. 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. How many of you will say amen tonight? We will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses, and we will serve him. Now, therefore, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Would you stand with me? Would you just say with me as you close out this night tonight before the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to recommit myself to God. I'm not going to give up. What can we do now? What now? What now? Well, we're changing leaderships for a bit, but it's still the same God. And he's been preparing this ministry all along. And what's going to happen is we're going to just keep on going. And we're going to just keep on growing. And we're going to keep on doing great and wonderful things. Because my God has given us it for an inheritance. And we, somebody say with me, we will serve the Lord. Come on and give him a hand clap of praise. Lord Jesus. You are the great and the mighty God. There is nothing too hard for you. And Lord, you know every need that we have. Lord, you know every bruise, every bump. You know every hair on our head. You know everything in our life. And I just ask you, Lord, to come amongst us. And Lord, prepare us to be the kind of congregation that we need to be for our new pastor and his wife. That Lord, when they come, we may follow after their leadership. And that we may reverence him as the woman and the man of God that you have chosen for this hour. For God, I want to make it to heaven. I want to make it to glory. And I just pray, God, that you'd fill this whole house and my brothers and my sisters with the Holy Ghost anointing, and that we might be ready in Jesus' name. Come on, give me one more hand clap of praise. If you gotta go, run. Lord bless you.
God is who you are. I call you waymaker, miracle worker.
Somebody say it and let them know how happy you are to see them here tonight. Pray for them. Amen. Say, come on, let's pull together. Let's do this thing together. We're going to make it. Hallelujah. Call somebody. Invite them to the house of God. Reach out. Let's begin to get busy for the Lord. Amen.